In our previous handout, we didn't have a doctrine of angels. I split this one out from the angelic conflict. So it's angels and the angelic conflict. So the doctrine of angels. The Greek word is angelos. When you see two G's in the Greek, in the English we throw in an N. Just the way we, that's the language. So the Greek word is angelos. You'll notice it is similar to our spelling of angels. What does the word mean? It literally means a messenger. That's all it means. A messenger. When the word angelos is translated, it refers to a communicator, messenger, as in identifying the seven human pastor teachers at the seven local churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Those messengers are not angels. They're pastor teachers. Because we translate the word. Those messages from Jesus Christ to the seven churches are to those seven churches. But when you transliterate the word, it stands for a being that is, we call them angels. And so that's the next part of this sentence. When angelos is transliterated, it refers to angels, a class of created beings with free will, which were brought into existence by God sometime in the distant past in history prior to the creation of humans. And then other terms used to describe angels are fallen or elect. They're also called stars, and I give you the passages there. They're also called sons of God, or even God, with a little g, give you the passages there. Spirits, you have the passages there. Rulers, world forces, or powers, and princes. So there's different terminology for these beings. You have all those passages you can look up for yourself. Point two, the Bible mentions angels more times than it mentions the word love. For all the lovey-dovey people out there, angels are mentioned all over the Bible. All over the Bible. The number of angels is unknown, but there are many, perhaps trillions of angels. There's lots of them. Remember, they're created before humans are created. They have this in common with us. They have volition. So when we transliterate the word, it stands for this created class of beings called angels. Psalm 100, and again, as I've indicated in this Bible doctrine handout, I don't give you all the verses, but I pick out prime verses and put them in here so when you go through this, you don't have to look it up yourself. You can look up the collateral verses if you wish, and I encourage you to do that. So Psalm 1, 48, verse 2. Praise him, all his angels. And that is the word malak, M-A-L-A-K. Praise him, all his hosts. And that word is tasaba, and that means armies. The angels are described as being in army groups. For you in the military, we have army groups, which are big classifications of armies. And then in Psalm 148, verses 2 and 5, I just reiterate, but I had 5 in there. Praise him, all his angels, malak, praise him, all his hosts, tashab. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and that means to give orders, and they, angels, were created. And we have the word bara, which means to build. There's lots of different words for create, and that means to build. As we go through this Bible doctrine handout, remember, this is my final rough draft. So I've just saw one error. If you find any errors, please let me know. But I should make Psalm 148, 2 and 5, just Psalm 148, 5, because I'm duplicating the passage in 148, 2. Okay, so he created them. He gave the order. And he created them. Bara means to build. He built them out of something. What is that something? Well, we'll see other words for angels. They use the word light. Light. In fact, Satan himself is called the Shining One. So he built them out of some type of a substance. And again, this is all the Bible tells us about angels, all that we could glean out of it. Point three, angels are superior in form and function to believers in time, but not in eternity. Right now, they are superior in form and function to you and I, but not so in eternity. Not so in eternity. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. You have made him, which are believers, for a little while. The little while is while we're on the earth in this mortal body. Lower than the angels, that's the word angelos, you have crowned him with glory, that's the word doxa, and honor, timē, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjugation, uh, sub, subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now, in time, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. And that is, the angelic conflict continues. This obviously has a dual meaning, but in the New American Standard Version, they usually get it right. And when they have a capital H, it refers to Jesus Christ. Here, from the context, this is the believer. This is the believer. And we know that God has said that, you know, all things are usable for us. So these angels right now, it's the same with Jesus. When Jesus took on the form of a human body, he was inferior to the body of angels. It's true. And we, of course, in mortal bodies, because Christ was in a mortal body, we're also inferior to these angelic creatures. But not forever. Not forever. We'll see other passages that tell us that this will not be so, that they will be serving us in eternity. So verse 4, or point, we're on point 4. It says, with the start of the angelic conflict, which is another doctrine, angels are now divided into two types, saved and unsaved. All angels are now forever divided into their eternal state. Angels are already locked and loaded. As when humans die, you're in one state or the other. There's no purgatory. The Bible has zero to say about a purgatory. There is no purgatory. It's a false doctrine. Your time is now. And we'll study that when we get to the doctrine of death. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And through him to reconcile, and that's apokatalasso. It's a triple compound verb. Apokatalasso. It means to bring back a former state of harmony. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace. Irene opieo. That's a compound word. Poieo means to make or to do. Irene means to have peace. Through, that means, that word is dia, by means of the blood, amia, of his cross, startros, through him, I say, whether things on earth here is ge, gay, or things in heaven, oranios. So, through Christ, he reconciled all things, through his death on the cross, whether on earth or things in heaven. Now, this reconciliation factor, of course, we're going to get to when we get to doctrine of soteriology in more detail. But Christ, what he's done, he's made peace by means of the work on the cross. The word blood stands for his work on the cross. And then he says, I say, whether on earth or things in heaven. Now, on earth, of course, not all humans respond to the gospel. They don't respond to category truth. Some humans respond to category one, have very healthy, happy lives, and they die and go to hell. But most humans do not respond to category true truth. So it's true that Christ has reconciled. He's made this available. So this is available for you. This is available for you. Most humans never take advantage of phase of category two. Most believers never take advantage of category three. They're too lazy. Or they just don't want it. It bores them. They don't want Bible doctrine. They simply don't want it. And if you can tell me why that's true, I mean, we all know why. They're here. They're here. Now, if you find that Bible doctrine bores you, then admit it. Say, I'm bored with it, but do it anyway. Because there'll come a time when you will say, hello, lovely. Boy, I'm glad I stuck with it. And it will become your lifeblood. But be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Say, no, this stuff bores me to tears. Do it anyway. That's your lust pattern. You don't like it. Well, do it anyway. It's good for you. Remember your mom said, eat it anyway? Eat those carrots. Eat the broccoli. It was good for you. But you didn't like it at the time. But it turned out to be very beneficial. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and verses 16. For if the word, that's the word logos, but I didn't put it in there. You notice I don't do every word. Spoken through angels, angelos, proved unalterable. And that is the word bebios, that means stable or firm, and every transgression, parabasis, that means a breach of a ratified law, and disobedience, received the just penalty, means a payment of wages due, For assuredly, depos means undoubtedly or doubtless. He does not give help. Epilambanomai, and that means to secure one from peral, or, two angels, angelos. Angels are already fixed for eternity. In other words, they're already there. They're already there. But he gives help, same word, and that is when you have a dash there, I'm making it more understandable. Human history continues to the descendant of Abraham, and that all believers, that is, all believers on positive volition. The death of Christ on the cross did not give any help to the angels. They're already in their eternity. But it gave a lot of help to the descendants of Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you. These are the people that are the descendants of the promise. That's us. Now, you may not be Jewish, but you're a descendant of Abraham because it speaks to the promise. We are children of the promise. We're not children of the law, under works, under human works. So this passage tells us that the word spoken through angels. Angels taught Bible doctrine. We're going to see that later. And it's unalterable. It can't be changed. It cannot be changed. But the help that was given, the benefit was given to human salvation. Human salvation. Now, we'll talk about in a second about the angels and whether the angels had an opportunity to be saved. Because if you have fallen angels, did they have an opportunity to be saved? Well, we know the answer to that. The answer is yes. The Bible doesn't reveal the mechanics, but we know the grace of God. God is perfectly fair. It's impossible for him to be unfair. And the fact that Satan has a trial in the angelic conflict, we'll get to that, shows that God is fair. And that's why we have the angelic conflict, because Satan objected to the sentence. And then point A, saved angels are also termed holy and elect. And I give you the passages for that. Unsaved angels are referred to as fallen angels and are subdivided into confined demons and operational demons. There are demons that are confined in the heart of the earth, and they will be released during the rapture. We'll study this later on. There are operational demons that are alive. Well, both of them are alive, but they're on the face of the earth, and they perform various functions for Satan, and they're called operational demons. They have different functions. We'll study that as well in the future, but that's just the point. Point five, there is a command and rank structure among saved and fallen angels. Saved angels are divided into two groups, the army group and the heralds group. What's a herald? A herald's a messenger. They give information. Both operate under direct orders from Jesus Christ. So the angels are divided into two groups. We saw this with the Psalm where it said that they're the host, which means the army. That's what the word means, the host. So the two groups are the army group and the heralds. In the Old Testament of the Bible, Jesus Christ in the Hebrew is called Jehovah Tsaba. Jehovah is the sacred word for God, Adonai. And Tsaba means armies. So it's Lord of the armies, translated Lord of hosts. E.g. means, for example, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. However, the phrase should be translated Lord of the armies. He is the commander-in-chief of the army group of angels. And then the next category you have is archangels. These are the highest rank of the elect angels, and they're also called six-wingers, or seraphim. In the military, we have Navy rank, Army rank, and generals are called one-star, two-star, three-star. We designate our rank by stars. Angels receive their rank designation by wings, among other things. They also have crowns. But the highest rank you can achieve as a saved angel is six wings. And these six wingers are mentioned. I give you the verses there in your handout. The wings are a designation of supreme rank. The Bible identifies two of the seraphim. The word seraphim means six wings. Michael, which means who is like God. That's what his name means. And Gabriel. And then you have the extra-biblical book of Enoch named Raphael and Uriel. Extra-biblical means it's not in the Bible. I'm just throwing it out there, which names two other seraphim. But we don't study the book of Enoch because it's not combined or put in the Holy Scriptures. But there is a book called Enoch that's out there popping around. Michael commanded an army of angels who defended Israel in the Old Testament. Therefore, he is called also the Prince of Israel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. Michael also fought over the body of Moses when he died, 2 Peter 2:11, Jude 9, and will defend Israel in the tribulation, Daniel 12:1, Revelation 12:7. Gabriel was commissioned to explain to Daniel the vision of the ram and the he-goat in Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. Gabriel was also sent to Zacharias and Mary to announce the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, Luke 1:19-38. So you can see that he had double duty. Gabriel had the messenger group, and also he's in the army group. So he's got double duty. And sometimes, if you're in the military, you have to pull double duty. Or in the police officer business, you've got to pull double duty, double shift. Why should you do this and do that? Then we have another category of in the army group called the 24 elders. These are high-ranking general staff angels identified in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. They're called the 24 elders. Next point, we have the rank and the file. They're called the host or the tesab. And some of them destroyed Sodom, Genesis 19:1, Genesis 19:13. The tesab all are without wings. In other words, they don't have a high rank, and are the most numerous of the saved angels. In Luke 2:13, there were vast heavenly armies celebrating the birth of Christ. I mean, billions and billions of angels celebrating the birth of the Savior. Then we have the messenger group as another broad category. Jesus Christ is the head. He's called the angel of the Lord. He's the commander of the chief of the heralds group of angels. And then we have what's called the living creatures, or in this group. They're called beasts in the King James Version, Revelation 4 and 6. The correct translation is they're called the living creatures. They're not beasts. They're living creatures. That's a more modern translation. They are also called ranking, they're also called high-ranking seraphim, which are six-wingers. There's cherubim, which are the four-wingers. Now, there's four-wingers also in the army group, and they're also in the herald group. Then there's the rank and file. These are the messenger angels. And there's also various ministering angels included in all the angels that passed in review when Christ was born. So we have ministering angels, we have teaching angels, we have army angels, we have destruction angels, we have senior officer angels, we have mid-grade officer angels, but most angels are rank and file. The fact that we have a rank structure in angels tells you what? They have volition. How do you get your rank? They got it the same way you get your rank. Remember, they were created before humans were created. They get their rank by being positive to Bible doctrine and learning Bible doctrine before there was a cutoff, and they were locked and loaded in their particular rank structure. Now, you're not locked and loaded yet. You still have the opportunity to reach maturity because you're still alive. If you're dead, you're locked and loaded. But if you're dead, you're not hearing what I'm saying, so everybody's here is alive. So if you're not at the highest rank of spiritual maturity, you still got a chance. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 10 gives a dissertation on these creatures. And I'm not going to cover that, but I put that in there for you to cover in your off time. And what these things mean. If you understand, well, let's go ahead and cover some of the words. We won't go through the entire verse, verses 1 to 10, in the interest of time. But Isaiah is describing angels here. And a lot of these descriptions, if you know Isaiah, you can understand large parts of Revelation. If you understand Ezekiel, you can understand large parts of Revelation on your own. It's simply that the terminology is carried forward from these books into Revelation. So we have the indication here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, six wings. These are senior angelic general officers. They're called the living creatures in Revelation 4, 6 to 8. And they took the wings, and it says in this passage, they covered their face, they covered their feet, and they flew. So covering of the face is a sign of humility. We kind of know this in our own language. You know, when you look down, you cover your eyes, you cover your face. It's a sign of humility. So these angels are showing when they cover their face with the wings, it's a sign of respect for authority, humility. They cover the feet. The feet is recognition, a direct recognition of superior authority. You don't go tramping around. You cover your feet. Remember in Job, God said to Satan, "Where have you been? I've been tramping around everywhere on my feet." I've been traveling here, there, up and down everywhere. When you tramp around on your feet, you're recognizing your own authority. When you cover your feet, you're recognizing the authority of your Creator. So that's what these angels are doing. And then the flying here, the mobility to communicate certain Bible doctrines and perform other duties as assigned. So the wings stand for recognition, but it also signs a sign for your mobility to perform what God tells you to perform. The word holy, of course, consists of righteousness and justice of God. However, each repetition, because here you have the word holy, 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 of holy here refers to Jesus Christ as the full member of the Trinity. Many people teach that this refers to each member of the Trinity. Holy is Father, holy is the Son, and holy is God the Spirit, which is all true. But here, so that's a true doctrine, but here it actually refers to the full authority of Jesus Christ to be holy, holy, holy. He's co-equal, co-eternal with all the members of the Trinity. The secondary meaning, of course, is it's true that all three members of the Trinity have the same attribute of holiness, but here it's talking about Jesus Christ, the commander of the angels. So in the context, this is clear that it's talking about him and its repetition. You repeat something, it makes it more important. Johnny, go to the store. Johnny's not moving. Johnny, go to the store. Johnny's still not moving. Well, then you up your voice to the highest level, and then Johnny gets up and goes to the store. You just have to repeat it a little louder for emphasis. Burning coal. This is the angelic communicator to Isaiah. He tells Isaiah to keep communicating. The burning coal comes from the altar, which is the place of the judgment for sin. The burning coal is symbolic of rebound, which cleanses Isaiah for service. Remember Isaiah said, I'm unclean. I can't go out and do these things you want me to do, Lord. So the angel took the burning coal from the altar, which is the place of judgment, and put it on his lips. It's a concept of rebound. We covered this in Isaiah. But that's what it means. Point six, angels are generally invisible to humans, but some were seen in the Old Testament and the apostolic era of the early church age. You could see angels, and angels were seen sometimes. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, do not neglect, that means to forget or to neglect, epilanthanomai, to show hospitality to strangers. And that's philo exito. Now, philo is the word love, and this word means to show hospitalities. For by this some have entertained to receive as a guest angels, angelos, without knowing it. Lanthano, that means it was hidden from you. So, yes, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. We know that angels communicated in the pre-canon period of the church age. The pre-canon period of the church age. We know that Hebrews were written during the church age. It was written probably circa 50, the late 50s AD. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews was. Probably Barnabas, but we don't know. So at that time, he was telling people that, yeah, you could entertain angels without even knowing it. Angels are everywhere, as we're going to see in a moment. Now, I'm not as dogmatic as some people are and says, well, angels do not appear in a human form today. The Bible doesn't say. It says in Hebrews that they have in the past, but we do know that angels are not communicating Bible doctrine to anyone today. The canon of Scripture is closed out. So if somebody comes in and says, I've got a new Bible doctrine for you, I'm an angel. Uh-uh. So if they do appear and you see them on the corner of 12th and Main, and you saw a glimpse of something, or you saw a guardian angel or whatever you saw, they are not communicating to you Bible doctrine. That all closed out in 96 AD. So whether or not these things make appearances and they can be seen by people, I cannot be dogmatic because the Word of God leaves it open. Because Hebrews is written in the church age. Now the canon of Scripture had not closed yet, but it doesn't say that you cannot see something that goes bump in the night. I simply don't know. The Word of God leaves that door open. But we do know that they do not any longer communicate Bible doctrine. That's it. When that which is perfect is come, that's it. It's closed out. So if somebody's scamming you and say, an angel told me about a new doctrine, or they taught me Bible doctrine. It's time to call the people in the little white suits and have you hauled away. Or if an angel is visiting me and tell me about Aunt Susie, I'm not buying it. The fact that you might see something, that's, you're not going to recognize it as an angel. Let me just put it that way. Later on, it might come back, well, that person, that little old lady with the apple, was actually an angel. You'll never know it. You'll never know it. So basically, show hospitality, be generous to all other people that walk around. But they're not talking to you, and don't try to communicate with one, because you might be communicating with a demon, because they're angels as well. Just leave it alone, and don't try to figure out what it is. You're not told to do that. You're told simply, we're told we have guardian angel, we'll get to it in a second, but don't pray to your guardian angel. You can, you know, maybe say thank you for a guardian angel to God the Father, but don't try to communicate with them. That's all out of bounds. Point seven, angels taught Bible doctrine to Jews in the Old Testament. We know that. We know also they taught Bible doctrine to certain of the initial pastors in the New Testament, because Paul received his Bible doctrine from Jesus Christ himself, from other humans, and from angels of some sort. No description given. So there was an opportunity for teaching before the canon of Scripture was closed out. But we know most of this passage talk about the Old Testament communication. Acts 7, verse 53. You who receive the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Angels taught the law to the Jews in the wilderness. Remember, you've got a million Jews wandering around, and so you have to divide them up into categories, and somebody's got to do the teaching. Verse 8. All believers in the church age are positionally superior to angels, as they will have a resurrection body in eternity above all angels, as well as all Old Testament believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Do you believers not know, henika, that means on account of, to know on account of, that we will judge, that's the word krino again, angels, angelos. How much more matters of this life? You will, judges are superior to people they're judging. And you will judge angels. So do you not know, on account of what? On account of the Bible doctrine I've been teaching you. That's what that word means. That we will judge angels. You're going to be an authority over angels. Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but the spirits, that's the word pneuma, which remember that's a term for angels, are subject, hupotasso, is the strongest word for authority. They're under your authority. To you. The strongest word for authority is hupotasso in the Bible. Absolute authority. You have absolute authority. You are the command sergeant major, and they are a private E1. Absolute authority to tell them whatever they wanted to do. To you, but rejoice that your names are recorded. En grafo. Remember, two G's is an N. And that means to engrave. Get a chisel and engrave it on a stone. That your names are engraved in heaven, Uranios. Your names are engraved in heaven, eternal security, and of course, you also have special rewards. Yes, sir?
So in Luke 10:20, when it says, rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven, that's referring to the book of life, where our name is written in the book of life.
Your name is written in the book of life. And also, there's another name that can be on special stones. You get a new name, actually. Not just this name, but you'll have a new name if you're a mature believer. We'll get to that. We'll get to rewards. But yeah. So rejoice in the fact that you have eternal security. But recognize this. These angels will be hupotasso under you. Now, that's because we're royal family. And we will be superior to all other humans in resurrection body. Because when the church age goes up, the next group that comes in is the 7 years that God owes the Jews. That's Old Testament dispensation stuff. And then the tribulational period, that's not royal family. That's the tribulational period. When that closes out, that's it. That's it. So you are royal family. And then, of course, it refers to eternal security, obviously. Point now, angels observed every move of Jesus Christ on this earth, 1 Timothy 3:18, 16, rather. They observed everything Christ did. All Satan's guns were turned on Jesus when he was on the earth. Everything they had was turned on Jesus Christ. Now that Jesus is off the earth, who is Satan targeting? You. If you are positive to Bible doctrine, you are public enemy number one. Number one. And then public enemy number two are believers, just all believers. And then public enemy number three are all humans that are under divine institutions. 1 Timothy 3:16. By common confession, homo logeminos, and this is, of course, a triple compound word, it means the consent of all without controversy. In other words, common confession, we all believe in this, as we started out our Bible lesson this morning with our doctrinal statement of belief. Great megas. Megas means, it's a word that means great, but it also means fantastic greatness. Is the mystery, mysterion, of godliness, eusebia. Godliness is spirituality. He who was revealed, phonetro, to make manifest, means to reveal, in the flesh, sarx, was vindicated, dikaioo, that means to render righteous. You'll see this word many times in the New Testament, we're vindicated. Dikaioo, when you get two O's, it's O-O. To render righteous, that's what it means. We are rendered, we're vindicated. God looks at us and says, okay, you're rendered righteous now. We have the righteousness of God imputed to us. We're rendered righteous by, it should be by, not in, the Holy Spirit. Because why the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit's the one that performs the function to allow you to be born again. He takes your weak bleep of faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9, and makes it efficacious for salvation. So he is the one that renders us justified. We are justified. We're vindicated. And then it says, seen by angels, angelos, proclaimed, and that is caruso, to publish among the nations, ethnos, believed on, pisteo, in the world. Now, in the world is a cosmos, and not everybody in the cosmos believes, but some do. That's you and me. And then taken up, anno lambano, in glory, doxa. He was taken up in the resurrection body, and that is the glory part. So, angels were watching everything he did, and particularly the demons were trying to stop him every way he could. And Satan used every strategy he could think of. He used strategies with Pontius Pilate's wife. He used strategies to put him on the cross. He used strategies to get him off the cross. He used strategies to kill him before he got to the cross. He used strategies to try to have Christ commit a sin so he wouldn't be qualified to go to the cross. He tried every stumbling block he could think of. Okay, so our time has expired. We will start up with point 10 of the Doctrine of Angels next Sunday. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen.